Well, let's get to the meat of the matter. And the meat of the matter today is all about pizza. And you say, Eve, why in the world would a health show be talking about pizza? Because I have to start out by talking about excitotoxicity. Excitotoxicity, you say? What does that have to do with food? You know what that is. That's a pathological process. It's a process where your brain cells get kilt, as they say in the South. And so I know you're not interested in having nerve cells damaged or killed by excessive stimulation, but there are neurotransmitters. Remember, neurotransmitters are your molecules of mood. If we discovered a molecule from the neck down, we called it a hormone, and if we discovered it from the neck up, we called it a neurotransmitter. But what's true is there's hormones in your brain and neurotransmitters in your body. What's the difference? Hormones work at a distance. Your pituitary talks to your ovaries or your testes. Your adrenal glands have a conversation with your brain and your thyroid. So hormones work at a distance. Neurotransmitters work in really, really short spaces between the end of one nerve and the beginning of another nerve. So among the neurotransmitters is the neurotransmitter glutamate, and it's excitatory. It transfers messages in your brain. It helps you think, literally. But you can overstimulate with exposing yourself to compounds that put too high of a glutamate level in the brain. Excitotoxicity may be involved in spinal cord injury and stroke and hearing loss and brain injury and various kinds of neurodegenerative diseases, everything from multiple sclerosis to ALS to Parkinson's to, well, even alcoholism. When we look at the fact that we can get excessive glutamate in the brain, we have to be concerned. The harmful effects of glutamate were discovered about 60 years ago by a Japanese scientist who found that if there was a direct application of glutamate to the central nervous system, it could cause a seizure. And then back in the 50s, the toxicity of glutamate was observed when newborn mice were injected with glutamate, and it turned out that it destroyed the neurons in the eyeball. But then at the end of the 60s, it was found that the damage wasn't just restricted to the retina alone, but it occurred throughout the brain. And John Olney coined the term excitotoxicity, and he realized that cell death could happen as a result of having too much glutamate. Well, you know you've heard that word before. You might not be a brain chemist, but you've certainly heard of monosodium glutamate. Yeah, monosodium glutamate, MSG. I can remember my mother being thrilled when she got her little bottle of Accent that she used to sprinkle on the food because it always made everything taste better. And we still don't know exactly why it makes everything taste better, but we absolutely know that it makes things taste better. And it creates a particularly funny word, a word that I used in a Scrabble competition one time that won me some money. You have to remember that I lived in Boulder, Colorado before I moved here to Sarasota. And in Boulder, Colorado, Scrabble is considered to be an absolute survival game socially. And so Scrabble games had money on them. And umami was a word that won me a game. Seaweed is really responsible for changing the way that we understand taste. Because way back over 100 years ago, a Japanese chemist found that a brown seaweed called kombu, something I always put in a pot of beans when I cooked it, contained a large amount of a particularly savory amino acid, MSG. It made a taste sensation. You know, all of us are aware that the tongue tastes sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. The taste buds capture those various tastes. But this new category, umami, which roughly means delicious in Japanese, it was similar to the taste that came from soy sauce, that came from browned meat, that came from savory mushrooms that had been cooked. So for years and years and years, nobody believed that umami was really a separate taste. They stuck to the sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. But in 2001, there was a biologist at University of California, and he isolated the specific taste receptors that are both in humans and animals for capturing these savory flavors. And since that time, other umami substances have been identified in everything from shiitake mushrooms to fish. And then we had a situation where we realized that maybe this flavor enhancer, MSG, that began to be extracted and used in food. Because when this compound was extracted and used on food, it made everything taste better. And it didn't really matter much of what it was. And nobody quite figured out why that worked that way. Why did this particular compound change the way other things tasted? But, you know, if you look at a mushroom, for an example, it's, you know, 90% water, but the remaining 10% has got lots of aromatic flavor compounds. Most mushrooms have a high concentration of amino acids, such as glutamic acid. And glutamic acid is what makes MSG, creates the taste called umami. And there are other compounds in mushrooms that combine with MSG, and they enhance flavors as well. So when you cut a mushroom and you smell that earthy kind of smell, that alcohol that concentrates in the mushroom gills and the thing that shows up in really mature mushrooms like portobellos, what you're actually smelling is some of these sulfur compounds, but you're also smelling these amino acids that end up as MSG, starting out with glutamic acid, end up with MSG. Well, how do MSG and excitatory neurotransmitters go together? Well, glutamate itself is an excitatory amino acid. Excitotoxins are chemicals that get added to food, and they cause brain cells to become overstimulated. They trigger a surge in neurotransmitter activity that can harm healthy cells. There have been animal studies that show that excitotoxins can damage the mitochondria, the energy-producing centers, not only of the brain, but the energy-producing centers of the body. There's a lot of controversy whether consumption of these excitotoxins is dangerous for humans. But what happened is a number of years ago, there was a guy and he reported that when he ate certain foods, he got a headache. When he ate certain foods, he ended up getting weak, getting numb, having palpitations. And the thing that was unusual about this is it only happened when he ate in Chinese restaurants. He was a Chinese-American doctor. And he reported to his colleagues that this was going on, and everybody said they didn't know what was happening. And so in 1968, he wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine describing this palpitations and weakness and numbness and headache that he got after he ate in Chinese restaurants. And he wondered whether the MSG in food, which, by the way, is rarely used in China, could be the cause. Almost immediately, MSG was labeled a toxin and was removed from a lot of manufactured food products and from restaurants. Problem is, MSG isn't on the label as MSG. MSG can come under a lot of different covers, and before the show is over, I'm going to list them for you. The most common excitotoxins in the food supply are the flavor enhancer MSG and hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which contains MSG and is used as both a flavoring agent and a filler in processed food. And of course, one of my arch enemies, aspartame, the artificial sweetener. that's used not it's used in so many products. When my husband and I were flying to Hawaii last summer, happily flying to Hawaii last summer, I got a ginger ale on board. Every once in a while, I'm going to treat myself to a ginger ale. Ginger ale or a root beer, just now and then. And on board the flight, especially when you're flying for hours and hours and hours and hours, Atlanta all the way to Honolulu, that ginger ale tastes good. And about halfway through the flight, I started getting a headache, and I don't get very many headaches. And so the next time they brought the beverage cart around, I asked the lady if I could see the ginger ale, because I wasn't actually eating the food that was on the plane. I'd brought my own food with me, but then you knew that. And I looked on the label, and it said half the calories on the label of the can of ginger ale that I had. And when I looked on that label and turned it over, one of the ingredients that was in there was Splenda. And Splenda is sucralose. It's one of the non-nutritive sweeteners, but historically it's one of the things that I've found that'll give me a headache. So between sucralose and saccharin and aspartame or NutraSweet, the brand name, they've been put into a whole lot of things that you didn't know to cut calories. So aspartame, this product that's used in so many diet products, is not an excitotoxin per se, but it can be metabolized into aspartate in the body and therefore become an excitotoxin. So when I look at labels, those are three things that I'm looking for: aspartame, sucralose, MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, that make your brain, for want of a better word, jiggle too much. The neurotransmitters vibrate too fast, and that's how they end up getting damaged. Now, not everyone is sensitive to excitotoxins, but certainly children with developing nervous systems may be more vulnerable to their negative effects. But so are some adults. Some people are so highly sensitive to MSG that they could have everything from headache to dizziness to lightheadedness to palpitations to numbness to tingling. And it got named 50 years ago Chinese restaurant syndrome because MSG was so widely used in Chinese cooking. Now, I don't want to single out Chinese restaurants. Many Chinese restaurants today no longer use MSG or say so on their menu, whereas many food manufacturers still add it to their products. Some people get headaches or feel dizzy after drinking a beverage sweetened with aspartame. Others don't get any symptoms at all. But the circumstances are that we know that something strange happens in the brain. How do you know if a food has MSG or hydrolyzed protein or aspartame for that matter? Well, first off, you got to look at the ingredient label, but oftentimes these things are not listed by that name because America has gotten hip to the idea that MSG is troublesome for some individuals. You will see packages that say no MSG or no MSG added, another cutesy way to say it. But when you read Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, where he explains how MSG works as an excitotoxin, where it overexcites your cell to the point of cell death, where it can actually cause brain damage to varying degrees, that it can trigger or worsen learning disabilities. So what do you do with a kid that's got ADD, ADHD, some sort of learning disability, and they have a good day and they have a bad day? Well, maybe the bad day is connected to them getting exposed to excitotoxins. Why is it that somebody who has ALS can walk one day and can't stand the next? Why is it that somebody that has Parkinson's disease has a good day and a bad day? Maybe this free glutamic acid that makes up glutamate is high in their diet the day before. Now, the body uses glutamate, this amino acid, as a nerve impulse transmitter in the brain. And actually, abnormal functions of the glutamate receptors or levels of glutamate are one of the things that I measure in my practice. We do a urine test to measure neurotransmitters when we're looking at mood disorders. No, we can't actually measure what's happening in the brain. You'd have to do a brain biopsy to find that out, and that's a little messy for my practice. But you can measure the downstream effect. Just as looking at the footprints in the sand can tell you that somebody walked there, just as looking at the shadow on the road of the tree, you don't have to see the person who made the footprints, you don't have to see the tree to know that they've been there. So when we look at these abnormal functions of these glutamate receptors, there are actually individuals that we want to get their glutamate higher. We want to get their glutamate receptors working better because they help to transmit messages. But because glutamate receptors are also found in your heart's electrical conduction system and in the heart muscle itself, this is why some people will eat and immediately have heart palpitations. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. The feeling of the skip beat. So whenever there is an excess of these foodborne excitotoxins like MSG and hydrolyzed protein or soy protein isolate or natural flavorings or sodium caseinate or all of these other names, they can create cardiac arrhythmias. So we're not talking about something that's just annoying. We're talking about something that can be really dangerous. So you heard the top of the show. I was going to talk about pizza, and you're going, Eve, I thought you were going to talk about pizza. I thought this was going to be a really fun program, and you were going to talk about pizza. Well, I am. It's one of America's top favorite foods. When we look at the consumption of pizza in America, 94% of Americans have eaten pizza in the last month. Average Americans eating 46 pieces a year. And since I eat about 10, then that means somebody else is eating 82 pieces a year. So when we begin to look at all of the 100 acres of pizza that get eaten in America every day, a slice gets eaten every second. Actually, 350 slices get eaten every second. 100 acres of pizza every single solitary day. Billions, and no, this isn't a Carl Sagan joke, billions of pizzas, 5 billion pizzas, are eaten on the planet every year. And so you think about 7 billion people, and some of them are, you know, little kiddos. That means everybody's eating a pizza every year. But the average family's eating pizza 30 times a year. And Americans consume half of the world's pizzas. We especially do it on New Year's Eve, on Super Bowl Sunday, on Halloween, the day before Thanksgiving. You know, there are certain days of the year where the greatest amount of pizza is sold in America. But what's true is we love pizza. 93% of children age 3 to 14 say pizza is their single favorite food for lunch or dinner. So walk into any school in Sarasota County and try to find me a kid who hasn't eaten pizza in the last week. It's going to be a really rare commodity. But we have to figure out what's lurking in that pizza, because it's not just MSG. You know, when people have gone to try to find out what is in things, there is this phrase that I see in recipes and restaurant recipes, and there is this phrase that I often see on vitamin bottles. Actually, originally I was going to do this show on the lousy vitamins that get brought into my office, and they'll say proprietary formula. Proprietary formula means they don't disclose the amounts of each of the ingredients. So, you know, maybe it'll say proprietary formula 500 milligrams, and then it will list 20 things under it, but you don't know if there's, you know, 5 milligrams of each one and then 450 milligrams of the last one? You just don't know because of the proprietary ingredients. And so when all of the big pizza organizations in the country, and you know the list of the names, were solicited to get their ingredient list, a whole lot of them said they can't disclose it. They don't have a way to give out that information. That information would have to come from a vendor. They don't have permission to reveal it. The ingredients get shipped to the store and they don't have the list of the ingredients. So a whole lot of local pizza restaurants said, no, we can't disclose the ingredients to the customers. In fact, Little Caesar told one of the investigators that if she was concerned about what the ingredients were, that, quote, she just shouldn't eat there, close quote. So when Papa John's gets on the television and says, better ingredients, better pizza. Better ingredients, better pizza. But they won't tell you what's in it. We just want to find out if any harmful ingredients are there. So you can make the calls to the corporate offices and talk to the local pizza joints and all that and not get very much information. Well, I'll tell you what they're hiding. They're hiding a whole lot of hidden MSG. What we want to understand is that this is a flavor enhancer. And what it does is it makes you want more. And it doesn't make any difference what foods they're added to, whether it's a, you know, handful of flavored corn chips or a pizza. There are ways that the FDA loophole allows companies to sneak processed free glutamic acid into your food, which has the same effect as MSG. The glutamic acid becomes glutamate, monosodium glutamate. Hydrolyzed soy protein is the main component of MSG. Now, MSG occurs naturally in food. It naturally occurs in tomatoes. It naturally occurs in cheese. There are other foods that are naturally high in glutamates, and they are deeply yummy. It's one of the reasons that we eat them. But MSG in concentration can trick your brain into believing that what you're eating tastes so good that you got to have more of it. And that's terrific for food manufacturers. See, for years, they've only added salt and sugar and fat in order to take lousy quality ingredients and make them, and I quote Anne Marie Colbin, deeply yummy. But now that we're finding out more and more about what excitotoxins do, it gets a little scary. Dr. Blaylock, that wrote the excitotoxins book, says that excitotoxins dramatically promote cancer growth. It causes a cancer cell to become more mobile. It enhances metastases or spread. When you increase the glutamate level, cancer grows like wildfire. This is pretty serious stuff. And you know what a whole lot of people do? Because I read food diaries every day in my practice. You know, I've been reading food diaries for 30 years. I know what America eats. And there's a whole lot of people who go, well, I only have it now and then. You know, I only eat the double chocolate malt now and then. I only have the cheeseburger now and then. I only eat the fries on occasion. Whatever it is. But what's true is that MSG is not just showing up in pizza. It's showing up in a whole lot of restaurant food. And I would love to tell you that that's the only lousy ingredient that's in pizza. You know, 80% of all the mozzarella cheese that's made in America goes into pizza. Our United States Congress supports dairy cattle industry. They won't support giving Head Start kids food, but they will support very rich dairy farmers. And then they turn around and subsidize the milk and standardize the price so we make sure that all those dairy farmers are making some money. And then we make the cheese. Well, one of the great things about the cheese that shows up in some of the pizzas is they've added various varieties of powdered wood pulp. Okay, so I don't have a bandsaw, you know, sitting in my garage and I'm sweeping up the sawdust on the floor, but it's pretty close to that. There's not 100% real cheese topping the pizzas. The modified food starch, which is hidden MSG, the preservatives, and the cellulose or the powdered wood pulp is added to cheese. It's added to the blend. So you thought you had a wood pulp deficiency. But if you've eaten Papa John's in the last month, that's certainly not the case. You know, now you got these little dipping sauces that you come with your pizza. And they're loaded with partially hydrogenated oil, genetically modified organisms, and more hidden MSG. Doesn't matter whether it's the garlic ranch or the spinach Alfredo or their thin crust or their pepperoni or their chicken topping or whatever it is. You know, 68% of people want meat added to their pizza, 38% want vegetables, and women are twice as likely to order vegetables on their pizza as meat. But when you look at somebody who's trying to do a credible job, like Domino's, one of the few pizza restaurants that openly publishes their ingredients online, no, they don't list MSG, but they have all kinds of, quote, flavors. They add flavors to their pan crust, to their cheese, to their pepperoni, to their seasoning. Even their garlic oil. You know, garlic oil, what would you expect to have in garlic oil? Well, hello, garlic and oil. Except there's 20 ingredients in it, including artificial colors and artificial flavors. What in heaven's name do we need artificial colors and artificial flavors and 20 other ingredients in garlic oil? Thanks, Domino's. It doesn't matter who you go to. You know, it doesn't matter if you show up at Pizza Hut or you show up at Little Caesars or you show up at all of them. What's happening is that we're getting these partially hydrogenated, genetically modified soy oils. Soy oil is the most common ingredient in pizza. It's often more by weight than the flour. And now we can look at Pizza Hut because they've replaced their high fructose corn syrup with Splenda. So we put in an artificial sweetener into the crust. Hello? It's making it scary, isn't it? It's making it scary because these tight-lipped restaurants that are having very much difficulty in sharing any information about their products are feeding America. So very many of the companies that were solicited for information wouldn't reveal any information at all. And you can go up on a website called foodbabe.com and read some of the research that was done by this young woman. And thanks, Randy, for that tip. So if you're wondering about your own favorite pizza place, well, then, you know, stick to veggie pizza without cheese. Because hidden MSG is everywhere. It's everywhere. But there's banned ingredients in many U.S. foods, things that are banned in other countries. I was totally shocked to find out that the recipes McDonald's uses in the United States and the recipes that McDonald's uses in Britain are completely different. Banned ingredients like food dyes and bromated vegetable oil that just recently got taken out of Gatorade, or I thought it did. Various additives that are preservative agents are banned in other countries. Nutritionist Mira Carlton wrote the book Rich Food, Poor Food, and she revealed the fact that the country of Russia, and I know they're on your absolute favorite country list right now, they've banned the purchase of U.S. beef, pork, and turkey. Banned it. They bought $500 million worth of meat from the United States in the past, and now they won't buy any of that meat because of the additive rectactamine. When we look at processed foods, we're putting things in those processed foods that Russia won't eat. So whether it's preservatives like BHA and BHT and sodium benzoate and sodium nitrate or high fructose corn syrup and aspartame and sucralose, whether it's artificial colors, blue number 1 and 2, green number 3, red number 3 and 40, yellow number 5 and 6, by the way, directly connected to hyperactivity. Artificial flavors, flavor enhancers like MSG and hydrolyzed soy protein. All of these things are banned in other countries, but we use them here in the United States. When I looked on the back of the vitamin bottles, and I see artificial colors. Artificial colors are made from coal tar. That's a carcinogen. Bromated vegetable oil that was in all the citrus-flavored sodas like Mountain Dew. Bromine competes with iodine for receptor sites in the body, and it can lead to hypothyroidism. It's a corrosive chemical. It's linked to birth defects. It's linked to schizophrenia. It's linked to growth problems. And yet when I was on a plane one time and I saw a woman take a can of Mountain Dew and clip onto the top of the can a baby bottle nipple that was manufactured to fit onto a can, 12-ounce can of pop, and fed it to her child on the plane, I wanted to jump out the window. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when we have these kinds of double standards? When Russia won't even buy our meat? When we think about eating healthy, we must think about whole food. You've heard the same message. I've been given the same message for all 26 years I've been in practice in Sarasota. By the way, 26 years next month, 2 weeks from now, 26 years in practice in Sarasota, my very first class, April of 1988. I've said the same thing. Eat foods that occur in nature. Here's a potato. Here's a Pringle. Do you need a PhD? Here's a chicken. Here's a chicken nugget. Do you need a background in biochemistry? You need to look at the food and see if it looks like food. If it doesn't look like food, it's not food. If it doesn't go bad, it's not food. Vegetables and fruit rot. Meat turns rancid. Dairy products sour. They go bad. Take a box of crackers that's on your shelf. You can will it to your grandkids. You know, I told the story before when I lived in Boulder. I bought a coffee cake. Very popular brand of coffee cake. And I would take it to class when I was teaching for the Boulder school system. And I would buy a new one every quarter. And I would take the one that I'd bought the day that I moved to town. And I'd take the two of them to class. And I'd take the new one and shake it up really hard so the crumbles came off. And I would show the two coffee cakes to the class. And I would ask them to vote on which one they wanted to eat. And then I would tell them that one of them was 4 months old, or 8 months old, or 12 months old, or up to 39 months old before I moved out of Boulder. And they said, well, it didn't go bad. Why didn't it go bad? Well, it must have preservatives in it. That was the answer the class always gave. And yet right on the box was a red ribbon that went across as a printed banner on the box that says, no preservatives added. Well, you don't have to put any preservatives in there because there's no food in there in the first place. If you got white flour and white sugar and hydrogenated oil, hello, what's going to go bad? Nothing would eat it. You could leave it on the counter. You could send out engraved invitations to every bug in Colorado. And believe me, there's plenty of bugs in Colorado. They wouldn't touch it because there was no food in it. And so when you start looking at how many meals a week are you eating out and how many meals a week are you eating at home, out of 21 breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, how many times are you letting somebody else decide what's going in your body, decide what's going in your brain? There are hidden food ingredients in seemingly healthy foods. And these hidden ingredients in seemingly healthy foods can harm you. Let's take a look at a list of ingredients on a cereal that says strong heart antioxidants. Rice. Rice, we like rice. Arsenic or not, we like rice. Whole grain wheat, sugar. Oat clusters, sugar. Toasted oats, you'll never guess, but they're made with rolled oats and sugar. And canola oil that's taught TBHQ is a preservative, one of the things that's banned in Europe. Citric acid to preserve freshness, molasses, honey, BHT for freshness, and soy lecithin. That's all what's in the toasted oats. Wheat flakes, crisp rice. What does the crisp rice have? Rice, guess what? Sugar and malt. Another place to hide MSG. Corn syrup, polydextrose. Remember, if it ends in an OSE, it's a sugar. Honey, cinnamon, BHT, another preservative. Artificial vanilla flavor. High fructose corn syrup, salt, honey, malt flavor. You think I'm being repetitive, but I'm actually reading right off the label. And then the vitamins, vitamin E, niacin, zinc, reduced iron, sodium ascorbate and ascorbic acid, yellow dye number 5, vitamin B6, vitamin B2, vitamin B1, BHT, a preservative, vitamin A, folic acid, beta carotene. You know, great news. They're called heart antioxidants. Well, look at the sugars to start with. It's got sugar, 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 molasses, honey, sugar, corn syrup, polydextrose, honey again, and high fructose corn syrup, and honey. It's got 11 or 12 sources of sugar. This is in the heart healthy cereal. Now, one of the things that I came across as I was doing research for this particular program was somebody who challenged the ingredient reduced iron. Reduced iron. What does reduced iron mean? Well, sometimes people bring cheesy vitamins into me and they say ferrous fumarate on it, which is rust, ferrous oxide. And I jokingly will say, all you have to do is lick a rusty nail or, you know, suck on a rusty piece of lawn furniture and you're getting iron. Now, it's not iron in a form that your body can actually absorb, or very little of it. You know, maybe 10% of that iron gets chelated in the gut. It gets bound to an amino acid so you can absorb it. And the rest of it just goes out the exit door. But one of these chaps took a generic brand of bran flakes, put it in a bowl, poured water over it and made it into a slurry, and then took a magnet and put a magnet through the slurry and picked up iron filings. Reduced iron meant that it was ground up really fine. Actually, that was what was in the cereal as the iron supplement. So here you're buying a cereal that says smart, strong heart antioxidants on it, and it's got 12 kinds of sugar and iron filings in it. I think convenience foods can hurt more than they can help. We have to look at how many of those meals are you fixing yourself? How many of those meals do you actually know what's going in your mouth? Where can you go for replacement? So you make yourself a nice salad. You got lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers and onions and whatever it is that you like in there. And you pick up that nice creamy Italian dressing. And it's got water and soybean oil. Don't forget that's genetically engineered, because almost 90% of all the soybeans that are going to be grown in the United States in 2014 are Roundup Ready soybeans from Monsanto. So we've got water, genetically modified soybean oil, vinegar, sugar, salt, less than 2% of garlic, xanthan gum, that's a thickener, citric acid, propylene glycol, that's antifreeze, alginate, another thickener from seaweed, and a flavor enhancer, dried onions, polysorbate 60. Oh, I love polysorbate 60. Don't you remember Grandma going in the backyard when the polysorbate 60 harvest was happening? Spice, doesn't tell you what the heck that is. Dried red bell peppers, garlic, phosphoric acid. Love that phosphoric acid. Want to make sure I rot my bones. Dried parsley, vitamin E. Ooh, that's good for you. And natural flavor. That's what's in creamy Italian dressing. Right. We got these body healthy vegetables, and we're just going to pour that delicious dressing on top. You know, in 1996, only 7% of all the soybeans that were grown in the United States were genetically modified. Now we're going up to 90. They don't just pose environmental dangers. There is a growing concern about their impact on health. We don't know that they're not safe. We just don't know that they're safe. You know, we look at things like propylene glycol alginate, the food thickener, the emulsifier, something that is combined with propylene glycol. It's primarily used as an industrial chemical. Not only as antifreeze, but they use it on runway de-icing. So if you've ever been on a plane that's had the wings de-iced and they're spraying the plane, that's propylene glycol. And we're going to mix that together with an algae extract in order to make a thickener. So your creamy Italian dressing is really creamy. We got a lot of offenders in our diet. And you know what? There's a fine line here. There's a fine line between how scary it is and what can you do about it and being afraid of everything in the world. I don't want to be afraid of everything in the world. I don't want to be mortified to go in and enjoy a nice meal in a restaurant. That's why I choose carefully what restaurants I eat in, so I make sure that they're actually using real ingredients. But I can't go in the back room and look at the ingredients like glutamic acid and glutamate and monosodium glutamate and calcium glutamate, magnesium glutamate, natrium glutamate. And I especially can't look at the labels of everything that's in the restaurant and see if it contains yeast extract or hydrolyzed protein or autolyzed yeast or textured protein or soy protein concentrate. All of the things that I absolutely know are going to contain free glutamic acid. Or the ones that often contain glutamic acid. Everything from bouillon and broth stock to anything that says flavors or flavoring. Anything that says maltodextrin on it or barley malt. The soy sauce extract. Things that are fermented. You know, really highly sensitive people can react to even small amounts of these ingredients. So, no, I don't want to be afraid of the world. I want to take control of what I can take control of. And so, guess what I did? I had some pizza. Of course I did. And what I did is I went to the health food store and I found a gluten-free, dairy-free pizza. And you might say, well, Eve, that doesn't sound very good. Well, you fiddle with it a little bit, but it started out with organic tomato puree and organic rice flour. And whole milk mozzarella cheese, vinegar, gluten-free, salt, filtered water, sunflower seed meal, virgin olive oil, tapioca starch, or all these are organic. Organic agave nectar. Don't know what that needs to be in there for, but it's in there. Parmesan cheese, organic potatoes, expeller-pressed hyoleic safflower oil, organic basil, sea salt, organic garlic, organic blah, blah, blah. So at least I'm doing the best I can with my ingredient list. And one of the things that it said on the box was no hidden ingredients, 100% pure herbs and spices. So I got some spaghetti sauce, delicious spaghetti sauce, I might add. And I'd already checked out that organic license plate. And I had some sautéed onions. And I made some turkey meatballs the other night with non-antibiotic raised turkey. And I busted up those turkey meatballs into that spaghetti sauce with the onions in it. And I put my little pizza in the toaster oven. And then when it was nearly cooked, I put that spaghetti sauce and such on top of it. And I had that with a great big salad. And it was fabulous. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I didn't have any MSG. I wasn't eating a plate of neurotoxins. I wasn't wondering with every swallow, what the hay is in this stuff I'm eating? You know, the future that you protect is yours, and for some of you, your children's. The brain you're protecting is yours. The belly you're protecting is yours. The future you're protecting is yours. Every bite of food you eat either makes you more alive or it makes you more dead. That's all there is to it. It's as coarse as that. Your food becomes you. It becomes your hair and your fingernails. It becomes your liver and your eyeballs. It becomes your blood and your motivation. It becomes your mood. And so when you say, well, I only do this once in a while, I only get drunk once a month. I only eat pizza once a month. I only eat fries now and then. Think about it. Is it the death by a thousand cuts? We need to honor our bodies. We need to eat to be nourished, not to be entertained. There's no single thing that can make a bigger difference in your health than eating at home, than fixing your own food. And fixing your own food out of whole foods, out of whole ingredients. You know, this kind of stuff really does make me mad. It makes me mad that they would allow foods to be used in the United States that the same corporation doesn't use in another country. That makes me mad. It makes me mad that we don't have more education about the fact that these corporations are not really interested in our health.